Good morning, everybody. Man, it's good to see you today. Good to be seen. Take your Bible, if you will, this morning. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Some way, somehow, I have misplaced the wireless mic this morning, so I'm going to try to stay close to this. I may forget, and if I do, I'll not hear me, and I'll yell a little. So, just be forewarned on that. Title of the message this morning, if you've got a bulletin, you turn it over on the back. You got a place there for notes if you hadn't seen that already. Title for the message this morning is Tough Shoes for Tough Rows. Tough Shoes for Tough Rows. We're going to look forward a little bit today rather than looking back, although looking back is always a good exercise. That's why Scripture so many times talks about certain memorials and certain things so that we can look back at the great works of God and be encouraged as we do move forward. That is the benefit of having memorials and memory, to remember the good things, even in the bad times, that the Lord has brought us through for a purpose. Amen? And so, purpose this morning is to look forward. My hope is today to encourage you, to challenge you a bit as we move into a new year and see what the Lord has in store for us in the next 365. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the place that we're about to read here, Moses had reached the end of his rope. It had been a tough row for him to hoe. 40 years he had led the Israelites through the wilderness, and he had done well. Now, at this point, he's going to pass leadership to another man. But before he does, he gives a parting message to the people there. He gives a parting message to each tribe that is represented and basically pronounces a benediction upon them here in 33-34. Every word he speaks is uniquely tailored and uniquely tailored for each of the 12 tribes. Moses knew these people and he knew them intimately. And he knew that they would occupy land in the promised land. So the message he gives to each of the tribes was well thought out. It was anchored in some intimacy there, and quite prophetic, as it will turn out. There's much in this chapter that we can apply to our own lives. The message to these tribes that predates the place where we're going to start are good messages, and we could develop a message that would be applicable to each and every one of our lives and moving forward as well. But I'm going to focus in on the message that was given to the tribe of Asher this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 33, only going to look at two verses there. Follow along with me as I read 24 and 25. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now, we are taking a look at a passage here that is talking about a prophecy and basically a promise that is given to one of the 12 tribes. So what's the point of looking at what Moses said to Asher centuries and centuries and centuries ago? Can we, as the church, commandeer the promises of God to Israel? Is the church a replacement for Israel? Answer, no. Lord, no. That's not the purpose. That's not the reason that these things are given out here. We cannot commandeer the promises of Israel as the church. But what we can do is we can look for principles. And we can look for promises that transcend, the occasion of which they were given or even pronounced. And what we have in the words that Moses spoke to Asher are some principles that God has in place for them and has in place for us today. And as we move forward in this message this morning, I'm going to bring in things from the new book, from the New Testament, from the New Covenant, that dovetail with the principles that come into the Old Covenant, because we have a God that does not change. And in His unchangeableness, the principles transcend covenants. And we have one of those principles, one of those promises here. The portion of land given to Asher over in the Promised Land was going to turn out to be a tough row to hoe. It was rugged. It was rough, rough land that they would eventually be given in the Promised Land. It had a seacoast down on one side and fertile plains up over on the other side. But in the middle of those two places, the land that Asher was given was mountain. It was mountain. It was rough. It was rugged, rugged terrain. The land of Asher was a tough place. It was a tough land to make a living in, tough place to raise a family in. Not only was Asher rough, the land that was given to them eventually, but it was only partly conquered. There were some other goobers in that land called Canaanites. You ever hear of them? Well, these Canaanites wanted that land too, this rough, mountainous, tough, rough terrain. These Canaanites had designs on that land as well. And because of the lay of the land, Asher was never successful in getting rid of all the enemies of that tribe at any point. Too many places to hide, too many places to run to, too many places to try to clear at one time. They were never able to completely get rid or get the enemy out of the land. Rough terrain, hard to travel, danger from enemy attack at any moment, any point, any time, from out of nowhere. It was a tough row to hoe that Asher was given. Does that help in any way once you understand where they're going and where they're headed? Does that help in any way to understand the words that Moses speaks to them in verse 25? He says to them there, he says, your shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The people of Asher would one day walk roads that were rough. And they'd go over basically torturous terrain while looking for attack and while being under attack from the enemy that is in that land. But the Lord would go before them, and He would provide for them as they had need. And that's what we see Moses speaking to this tribe, that the Lord would go before you, and that He would make provision for you in this very rough, in this very torturous, in this very rocky land that you're going to be given. As we stand here, sit here this morning on the threshold of a new year, one only has to look back to the 364 days prior to know that the next 365 may present us with some rough road. There's been a lot of rough road in the last 364 for a lot of people. And as we look back on that, we should be encouraged to see the hand of the Lord that was present, obvious, working. And know that in the 365 to come, that He's making provision for us as we move over into that, what may be rough road for some of us. If the way that we are called to go is strewn with flowers, then velvet slippers will work, won't they? And if all we're going to do in 2018 is sit and watch TV, then we don't need iron shoes. Some old soft socks will do. Huh? But you listen to me well. The footwear of the saint that travels the road to heaven is not silk slippers. This road is hard. The way that we are called to go is different. The way that we are called to go is difficult at times, and the path is often very treacherous that we must tread. God gives us great promises because the row that we are called to hoe is rocky. And it's dangerous at times. Now, I don't want to be a prophet of doom and gloom or a Donnie Downer this morning. I don't want to wish any hardship on any family. But the truth is the truth. Our Lord tells us that in this world, He says, ye shall have tribulation. But He says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. There's going to be rocky roads. Man, there are rocky roads out there today. There are going to be tough rows to hoe. There are tough rows being hoed today. Pay attention to this for just a moment.
Nobody knows where this country is. They know that they're on the outside of history and they're not cared for. For us to be able to show up and begin to tell them that God loves them. This is water on dry ground. This is remarkable news. Calling on people to give up Islam and embrace Christ, this is a big deal. Persecution comes every time the gospel is proclaimed here. I went up to a city in the north ready to give this teaching in a small church and talk about the cost of discipleship. And I sat in this on the floor with this small group, and they said, let's all share our testimonies. Mostly women in the group. And as it came around to the end, this one lady, and she just said, oh, I'm just very blessed and I'm so thankful to be here. And the lady next to her said, don't you do that. You tell him the truth. You tell him that every night after you go to these meetings, your husband beats you, and last week he beat you with a hammer. And tears shot to my eyes, and I thought, how could I tell this people you go out and suffer for Christ's sake? And God just grabbed me by the collar and He said, you're not asking them, I am. My national team of guys went down into the south part of the country, and there they found this guy, and he said, oh, I'm so glad that you've come. I haven't seen another Christian in over 2.5 years. And they said, listen, these guys are drinking straight out of the ditches that are irrigating their cotton fields. I had a guy tell me, my wife is just really discouraged and wants to leave the village, but we've got nowhere to go. And she had 3 children in 3 years and they've all died. It's waterborne diseases, it's killing them. So you can get them clean drinking water, changes everything in their family. I really did not believe that I would still be here 17 years later. And I realize that that takes a lot of patience and a lot of endurance. It takes that on my part, and it takes that on the part of the people who've sent us out. And they've been giving faithfully to Lottie Moon, giving faithfully to Cooperative Program, and the result is there's a church here, and there wasn't when I came. So I really want to say to all of our constituents back home who've supported us so faithfully, thank you for giving to Lottie Moon Christmas Offering.
There's a lot of folks that are walking some tough roads today. A lot of folks that are uncertain about what this day is going to bring and what this day is going to hold for them. Maybe you're feeling the same way. Maybe you have those anxieties and those things that are built up in you. Some of us are going to be called to go up some steep paths in 2018. I have no doubt. It's the nature of the Christian life. Some of us are going to be called to go up some steep paths, some rocky roads in this year. And we're going to need some divine equipment. Some divine equipment to bring us through those times. We're going to need some shoes of iron. Some shoes of brass. And we're going to need some strength for the journey. Remember, I talked about those principles that this principle brings to mind. And there's New Testament principles that go along with it. Romans 8:28. Talk to me. What does it say? And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. See, this is what this is talking about. There's New Testament correlations to this illustration. This wonderful illustration that we have here in the old book is fleshed out and we're called to certain things, told, comforted with certain truths that are given from Old Testament and New Testament and weave those things together. Psalm 139, let me remind you of this. Psalm 139, you know this is the baby psalm. And it says in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret." This is talking about you being you at the moment of conception. You being you. You being a life at the moment of conception here. "I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." Here's the part I want to get to. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." What that tells me is that he's been in our tomorrow. He's already been in our tomorrow before we were formed in the womb. He's already working tomorrow while we're still living in today. See, these are the promises that he's talking about here, that I'm going to provide these iron shoes and these brass shoes for you so that your strength, my strength, can carry you through whatever it is that you face in your tomorrow. What about Philippians 4:19? "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." This is that promise again, put in other words for us in the New Testament. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, back in the old book. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Listen, the path that he directs on sometimes needs iron shoes. Sometimes it needs brass shoes. But he promises to lend his strength in dealing with the things that we have to deal with there. Psalm 119:105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," he says. 2 Corinthians 2:19. "And he said unto me," this is Jesus now, "my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities," Paul says, "that the power of Christ may rest on me." John 14:20. "At that day ye shall know that I'm in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Go back to Deuteronomy 31 for a moment, right prior to what we're reading here. Deuteronomy 31, 8th verse, be familiar to you the minute we start in. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Asher didn't choose the Rocky Mountain. If they'd been given their choice, they would not have chosen the Rocky Mountain. God chose the Rocky Mountain for them. We wouldn't choose the Rocky Mountain if we had a choice, would we? We'd choose the fertile plain. Remember Abraham and Lot when they separated? And Abraham said to Lot, pick the country you want. What'd he pick? Just exactly what we would have picked, the fertile plain rather than the rocky hills and the rocky mountaintops that were up there. Asher wasn't looking for the tough road to hoe, but that's what they got. They would have chosen that fertile plain, I have no doubt of that. But their lot was to live in hard places, as yours may be. As yours may be. I wonder if there's some here today that would be saying to themselves, why is it always me? Why am I always the one that has to go through this junk like this? Huh? God chose the rocky places. He chose the land that He wanted you to pass through. That's His choice, not your choice. Now think about that for just a minute before you move on. They were not provided with a detour in that land, but they were provided the right equipment to go through that land, to walk with courage and to walk with triumph in that hard and rocky and rough and tough land. Verse 24 and 25 here lay out some promises there. Let's review them for just a quick moment before we move on. In verse 24 he says, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Remember Psalm 127? Where it says, his arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of his youth. And that he'll have his quiver full of them. And the idea with that is that having those children to be trained in the ways of the Lord, to be sent out then as arrows, as missionaries into this world. And what it's talking about there, it says, it's going to be rough for you, but you're going to have something to pass on. You're going to have something that can go beyond this time. And I'm going to bless you with a lot of children. And those children are going to get to see the trouble that you've gone through and the way that you've persevered, and they're going to be a mouthpiece for me in the generations to come. I'm going to bless you with those children. He goes on and says, let Asher be acceptable to his brethren. And he's saying, I'm going to give you favor with the brothers and sisters. I'm going to give you favor with the brothers and sisters, but that doesn't mean that it's a done deal. What that means is you're going to have to work at it. You need to stay in a good relationship with your brothers and sisters. I'm going to give you favor, but you're going to have to stay in a good place with your brothers and sisters. Huh? That's for us today, too. We need to stay in a good relationship with our brothers and sisters here. We need to stay on top of things. We need to stay to where we're unified and moving forward as a family, that we're moving forward in the way that God would have us to do. Amen? It's important. It's important that we take care of the relationships between our brothers and our sisters and us. He goes on to the third place and let him dip his foot in oil. Oil is talking about olive. As it turns out, there was fertile places in that Rocky Mountain where olive plants grew well. And they were blessed with oil in these very unlikely places. Oil speaks of anointings. Oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. Oil speaks of many things in Scripture. But what this is getting to is being fruitful. All right? Being fruitful in this area. Then he moves on and talks about the iron shoes and brass shoes. And that's what he's talking about. The promise there is that you're going to learn how to negotiate tough country. You're going to learn how to get through this. You see, that's what the Lord does when tough things and rough things come into our life. He teaches us how to get through this. He teaches us how to move through this and how it is for our good. For our good that He is allowing these things to come. It also tells me that we're not called to play it safe. We're not called to play it safe. We got too many Christians playing it too safe. We got too many Christians that are too satisfied to sit in front of the TV in their soft socks rather than with their iron shoes and brass shoes on, ready to go out and negotiate the tough country. The last thing that he says there, he talks about, so shall thy strength be. He said, I'll provide the strength. It's not going to be your strength. I'll provide the strength even to the very last day. I'm going to provide the strength that you're going to need to the very last day of your life. Why are we so afraid to step out and go where God has clearly called us to go? Why are we so afraid to step out and do what God has clearly called us to do? Why are we so afraid of that? I think it's because we're waiting for him to slip. I think we're waiting for him to slip the shoes that we're going to need into our backpack before we take a step. See, God doesn't work that way. He doesn't make provision before it's needed. He provides right on time. He provides when we have the need. If we're waiting on him to make provision before we take a step, we're not going to take a step. Because all this life, this Christian life, is by faith. It's by faith that we go out. It's by faith that we move out. We want provision before we take a step. God wants us to take a step before he provides. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Turn your paper over. I'm going to give you three things right here. I'm going to give you three quick things that is talking about. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Number one, God has your strength for every day this year. Write it down. God has your strength for every day this year. Number two, he'll give you strength for every kind of day that you're going to face. Get that. He'll give you strength for every kind of day that you face. Some days are going to be joyful and light and happy, and he's going to provide the strength for that day. But some days are going to be sad and painful and frustrating. Whatever the day brings, God is going to provide the strength to meet that day. And thirdly, God will give strength to all your days up to and including the last day that you have. We'll run out of days before we run out of God's strength. Amen? Those are three truths that's talking about. Three promises that you can take to the bank this morning. Will you have hard days in the days to come? Cheer up. Your strength will equal your days. Will you have days of sickness in the days to come? Fear not. Your strength will equal your days. Will you have confusion and trouble in the days to come? Fear not, for your strength will equal your days. While we struggle with the problems of today, God is at work providing solutions for tomorrow. He's way ahead of us. Way ahead of us in all of that. So what do we need to take away from this morning? My hope is, in a very short time, just to encourage you to look forward to what the Lord has for you. No matter what that day may bring, look forward to what he's doing in that day. Here's some takeaways for you this morning. You jot these down below those three. Take each day as it comes. Take each day as it comes. You're not going to change the day. And you're not going to change the things that come against you in that day. Take each day as it comes. Take it for face value. Secondly, don't force things. Let God lead. Let him lead you through each day. Don't force things on God. Let him lead you. Thirdly, don't be anxious about what's next. Enjoy what this is. Don't let what's next ruin what's now. Enjoy what he's got for you today. Don't be anxious about what's coming next. You can't control that anyway. Fourth, do today what God gives you to do. Don't put it off. How many times have I heard during this season, I wished I'd have told somebody something. I wished I'd have said this. I wished I'd have done this. I wished I'd have went over. I wished I'd have. Do today what God gives you to do today. Fifth, rejoice in the Lord always. Boy, write that on the dash of your car. Write that on your mirror. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. He's been in your today moons ago. He's been where you're standing right now ages and ages ago. When the road gets rocky, when the hoeing gets tough, run to the cross. Just run to the cross. You know, God will put you in an unbearable situation. But there's a reason why it seems unbearable. We know it's not unbearable. Because He'll never put you in one situation that is unbearable. But it seems unbearable to us, but we always make it through. He doesn't put us in unbearable situations, but He may put you in one that seems like it. And the reason for that is so that we'll turn to Him. If you're tired of your sin this morning, run to the cross. Good advice. If you want a new start at the end of a bad year, run to the cross this morning. If you need hope, if you need strength, I'd say to you today, just simply run to the cross. No matter how rugged the route, He'll bring you through. Nothing's allowed to enter the road that you're sent to hoe that you and God can't handle. You'll find there shoes for your journey and strength for each day. It wasn't until the folks of Asher got to the mountains that they found the iron that they needed to build the shoes that they needed. It wasn't until they got to the place where the Lord had them go that they found what they needed to make a way for them to get through. You see, they didn't pack them up in their backpack and take them with them. That's where they found it, right at the point of their need. You're going to find some interesting shoes this year. Some interesting shoes right when you need them to get you through some very interesting and rough places. Take courage in that fact. He has overcome the world. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for reassuring us through Your word that You are simply holding our hand as we go through the rough stretches of this life. Lord, it's when we recognize Your hand holding of us that we can see how the weapons of spiritual warfare work. The shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace. They work because they're really You living in us and sustaining us on the rocky road in the tough rows that we have to hoe. Today we don't pray for easier lives. We pray that we'd be stronger men. We don't pray for jobs to match, Lord, the power that we have. Lord, we are praying this morning for power to equal what we're going to face in the year to come. We'd ask You, Father, to give us shoes for our feet, a staff that we can lean on. Lord, give us a song in our heart. And Lord, a recognition of Your presence all along the way. We would ask You, Father, this morning if You would lead us forward in faith in 2018. Lord, we commit this way and this time to You now. pray it, Lord God, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And amen. This morning, simple message. I hope a simple encouragement for each and every one of you. So we all